It was in the late fall of 42, out on the Gulf of Mexico, just off the Louisiana coast, the water green and cold and sliding across sandbars in the sunset, when we saw the bodies bobbing in a wave, all in life vests and floating belly down, their arms outstretched, their fingers touching, like a group of swimmers studying something on the floor of the Gulf. My father was standing behind the wheel in the cabin. He wore a fedora and a raincoat, the redness of the sun reflecting off the water, flickering on his face as though he were standing in front of a fire.
"Come here and hold the wheel for me, Aaron," he said.
"Are those dead people out there?"
"Yes, they are."
There was no change in his expression. At age 18, he had been at San Miguel and the Somme, and had been buried alive during an artillery barrage. He still had dreams about the war, but denied their seriousness, even after my mother and I had to shake him awake and put a cold towel on his face lest he injure himself or others.
"They look burned, Daddy," I said.
"Just keep the boat steady. Don't look at these poor fellows."
He went out of the cabin and picked up a long-handled boat hook from the deck, then worked his way up on the bow and probed the figures floating in the waves. He was bent over, his raincoat flapping in the wind, peppered with spray from the waves bursting against the hull. His face sad, as if he knew these men, although I was sure he did not. He put down the hook and gazed at the horizon through a pair of binoculars, then came back into the cabin and picked up the microphone to our radio, his eyes empty. The sun had dipped out of view, leaving behind a sky that seemed filled with soot and curds of black smoke. A solitary piece of reddish-yellow flame wobbled on the horizon, so bright and intense my eyes watered when I looked at it.
"Mayday, mayday," my father said into the microphone. "Tanker capsized and burning south of Terrebonne Bay. 4 visible casualties, all dead."
He laid the microphone on the console and turned off the radio, then looked at the radio blankly.
"You didn't tell them who we are," I said.
He took over the wheel and reversed the engine, backing away from the bodies.
"You mustn't tell anyone about this, Aaron."
"Why not? It's what happened."
He cut the gas and squatted down and wrapped me inside his raincoat and held me to his chest, the boat rising on a wave, dropping suddenly into a trough. I could feel the warmth of his breath on my neck and cheek.
"There's a great evil at work in the world, son," he said.
"All kinds.
We mustn't bring it into our lives.